Hallelujah, pro-life. Sounds like a good plan. How about you? You think it's a good plan, pro-life?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Pro-life naturally and pro-life in the spirit. Both require Jesus, the maker of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Let me just look at you. Yeah, you're pretty good looking. You're good. Okay. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for your grace to us, your mercy. Lord, I thank you that you're God and there's no election. Lord, that you're high and lifted up. Lord, you have this amazing plan for our life that we walk in, that you nurture us through. Lord, I thank you for the spirit of prophecy that's in this place today. I thank you that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We thank you, Lord God. We just say yes and amen to everything you're doing in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about how God's individual prophetic plan impacts nations. So how his individual prophetic word on your life, God's got a plan for you to impact a whole nation. Isaiah 43, we'll start there. It's about Jacob. Amazing two verses of scripture. That's where we're kind of run from today. Isaiah 43, this is the 50th prophecy in the book of Isaiah alone. And there's a freedom released, you know, 50 speaks of Jubilee, that freedom. And yeah, I know there's some can be some negative connotation in Jubilee as well, but we'll just focus on positive, eh? And that the freedom of God, you know, he releases, and he's releasing a freedom, pronouncing it on a nation, but the nation actually started with a man. And God, in his infinite wisdom, is speaking a word over the nation through the prophet Isaiah, but it incorporates the man that he used to become named Israel, who was Jacob. And so let's just read these first two verses. But now, thus saith the Master, or Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, deceiver is his name, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called you by thy name. Thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, you shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Jacob's an amazing, you know, story, because his name Jacob is exactly his mother. Remember, she coerces him. There's deception. His name means supplanter or deceiver. And his old nature is not cool. But yet God has a plan for this man to become the continuation of a plan he started with Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How many know God's plan usually doesn't start and stop with one man? That we're actually part of a lineage or a litany of events generationally, spiritually. You know, we're part of this amazing family that continues and goes forward as God wills until the end, until the age changes. But Jacob finds himself in this plan that he may not have really understood, that he was earmarked by God, he was chosen by God, and he's got to deal with this nasty kind of disposition. You know how God, you know, I love how God's not concerned with what we were so that it stops us from becoming who we should be. God prophesies over Jacob, and that, you know, amazing prophecy here in the first two verses, it says that, you know, the Lord created Jacob. That word created is the word to, he cut out. He carved out. You know, he carved you out, can I say this? It says he knit you together in your mother's womb. He had a plan. He has a destiny for you. You've been carved out in this time in history to be a part of what he's doing on the earth right now. Jacob was carved out. He was created. He was separated is the word. It's the word bara, B-A-R-A. It says that Jacob, you've been created. You've been carved out. But Israel, you know, the one who has won or, you know, overcome man and God. Jacob got a name change. Genesis 32, 28. He's called Israel for the first time. He gets this name change over this amazing, fantastic, prophetic action wrestling match with the angel of the Lord. And God says to Jacob that, you know, he's saying, you know, I created you. And I've formed you, Israel. You know, that formation is like the idea of a potter who takes clay and forms image. He frames. Here's what it literally means. I squeezed you into shape. Where'd he do that? In the wrestling match. Do you know a thing about, you know, scripture is its truth. You can't get away from it. Who picked a fight with Jacob? Jacob didn't pick a fight with the angel of the Lord. How many know that sometimes God picks a fight with you? You minding your own business, doing your own thing, and all of a sudden God grabs a hold of you and says, we're going to wrestle. Right now? Yeah, we're going to wrestle right now, but I'm tired. Hey, I'm sleeping. And he says, no, I'm going to grab a hold of your life, and we're going to go a few rounds. These few rounds lasted a long time for Jacob. Now, where I'm from in the United States, we have this thing called Greco-Roman wrestling. And it's a brutal sport. We take all of our tough-nosed kids, our kids that are wayward, all of our boys who don't have really aim and they don't have really good home lives. And the two things you want to have them do is you want them to play gridiron and you want them to wrestle, because you'll have tough teams. And so, you know, I was a wrestler back and I coached it. And I can tell you it's like hell for 6 minutes. That's what it's like. Do you want to wrestle? Come and participate in hell for 6 minutes, you know? You don't, that's usually not what you tell kids. But you want them to participate. But it's brutal. Can I say it takes all of your energy, and you go to tournaments and you wrestle 4 or 5 times in a day, and it's 2 minute periods, but there's 3 should you not get pinned or break your nose so you can't continue, or whatever happens, dislocate your shoulder or whatever that can happen. It's a brutal sport. You have, you know, pound for pound, kilo for kilo, weighed in, and your opponent, the only thing different between you and him is the grit that you want to win, knowing your moves to counter their moves that sometimes happen in a flash. You have to be really quick thinking. You have to be strong and agile. And I can imagine Jacob, because there's a point of reference for my life. Something happens to Jacob in this wrestle of his life. Number one, he didn't choose that they're going to wrestle. God takes a hold of him. There's all of a sudden he's in this scrap. And there's got to be a point in time where he's just so determined, he realizes this guy is not natural. There's something in this. This is crazy. We're wrestling, we're rolling around, you know. And there's a point where he puts on, can I say, a life grip, not a death grip. He puts on a life grip with this angel and won't let go until what? He blesses him. I wonder in our life, as God pronounces his prophetic unction on our life, if when does the lights go on for us that in life we're in the amazing wrestle of our life, and it's not for me to die, it's actually for me to be blessed. And we hold on to God in whatever situation, because there's a lot of situations that just plain and simply are not comfortable. When you have your elbow up against your ear on this side and somebody squeezing on it with 100 pounds of pressure, I can tell you, you don't want to be there. How many believe that? You'd rather be doing anything. Your mom's in the stands. Your dad's going to give it to you if you lose. All your student bodies there in the stands. You know, everybody you've worked out with, your coach is screaming something you can't hear because your elbow happens to be in this eardrum. Sometimes situations twist us. They torment us. There's pain and suffering. But there's a moment that dawns on those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. God really wants to bless you through the situation sometimes we find ourselves under great duress in. It is in this such situation that Jacob gets blessed by the living God and gets a name change. Beloved, do you know that God's given you a name change? And he's actually waiting for us sometimes to walk in the newness of life in Christ in what he wants us to be, not what we've been. God wants to draw us into life scenarios to say, hey, I've got a new name for you. This name I've named you with has nothing to do with what you were involved in. God began to mold in that wrestling match the new nature that Jacob would walk in. He prophesies in verse 2 of Isaiah 43. He says, when you pass through these things, what, waters, you know, I'll be with you. He says, through the rivers, you shall not be overflown, you know, you're overwhelmed. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle over thee. You know, there's two things that happen in our life that God wants to be with us through so they don't happen. The enemy always wants to overwhelm you. Speaking of the water, there are situations where the enemy wants to overwhelm you, and God promises you if you stay in him, he's with you, you won't be overwhelmed. The second thing the enemy wants to do is consume you. He wants to use you up. He wants to burn you out. He wants you to be so distracted you don't even remember the name of Jesus. And life scenarios come. You know, the fire of life comes. But there's a promise to Jacob, who's also called Israel, that you won't be consumed by the fire of life. He says this to a whole nation. How many can read history and see that Israel's had its time of great rivers and great fires that she's had to walk through? How about you as an individual? The promise of God, the promise of God over this individual, Jacob, who becomes Israel, which becomes a nation. Do you know God wants you to impact this nation you live in called Australia? You know, God has a prophetic declaration over your life. Lamentations 2:17 says that his word has now been fulfilled, that which he decreed over your life a long time ago. Do you know God's prophesied over your life before you're born? You just get to walk the steps and recognize, hey, man, there's a plan here that's not my own. These doors are opening. These doors are closing. I'm meeting, you know, people in a divine intervention way. There are several words in the prophetic in Scripture, in Hebrew and Greek, but there's a few that are pretty cool. One is naba. It means to foretell events, but it means also to pray, to make supplication to God for those events to take place. You know, God has this partnership with us. This word naba means that, yeah, God prophesies over our life, but what also happens is when we pray, we can actually prophesy through prayer over our nation, over our town and region. There's another word close to it, Nabi, N-A-B-I. And it means that the prophet was not only a declarer of future events, but primarily a preacher of righteousness for his day. And I think of Noah, who is called a preacher of righteousness. In 2 Peter 2:5. There's so many other scriptures to support that. But, you know, we think of prophecy as giving a word of individual, distinct information that becomes revelation for that person. But, you know, when we pray with the aligned heart to God and we pray with his words, when we pray with scripture over scenarios, it's prophesying God's word into a scenario. Don't tell me that doesn't change a nation. Prayer changes a nation. That's why the enemy wants to distract us from not praying. That's why the battle rages so much from reading his word and then using his word and then praying. And praying is a two-way conversation. Here's my encouragement to us. Maybe we should listen before we talk, and we won't have to talk as much because the answers would come first. God has his heart, and he wants to speak his heart to us, and then he wants us to convey that through prayer to him. It's being prophetic. Scripture is full of prophecies. Can I tell you, you can take them to the bank. They're done. They're a foregone conclusion. All the prophetic unction that you see written in Scripture is unconditional. There's no condition on it. They will happen. There's, you know, thousands of prophecies that have already taken place. But personal prophecy, the word of the Lord to your life, or should I stand up here and call you out and say this is what the Lord says, is 100% conditional. It's not like Scripture that's unconditional. There's choices involved. You know, your heart has to say yes. You have to take action after you say yes in your heart to actually put feet and hands to the word yes, to do that, for those things to happen. And there's an amazing word. It's only used once in Scripture. It's polytropos, which is found in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. And that actually means that God spoke. It says that he spoke through the prophets in many portions, which is just the word for times. And he spoke in many ways, various methods. He spoke diversely. You know, God speaks differently. He uses colloquial expression. I was reading about Gideon. God's got me and Joel writing a book. Right, Joel? We're writing a book. Hallelujah. I'm in chapter 6. Hallelujah. It's going to be called Dreamers of God. And in this, I'm studying out the amazing ways God's speaking to people diversely. And some have dreams, some had visions, some had angelic encounter, some had just a scripture, some had people talking to them, and God, you know, speaking through. And there's words of knowledge and healing, and there's all sorts of gifts. And God just, you know, blesses us with diversity. The age that we live in wants totalitarianism at an all-time high, that we all look the same, speak the same, think the same, that we, you know, all cookie-cutter churches, cookie-cutter business, cookie-cutter everything. And that's not God's plan. The kingdom, you know, it's one body, very diverse. Thank God we don't have 3,000 livers in our body. There's diversity, and there's this God who uses communication in so diverse ways. And he's pronouncing over Jacob, who becomes Israel. This man is an influencer on a nation. He is put into the line after Abraham and Isaac, and it's a continuation. He actually reminds Jacob of who he is, what he's called to, and there's a great nation birthed from him. He's also, you know, told that like the dust will be your children, just like Abraham was shown, and Abraham was shown the stars. And God speaks diversely to us. He uses amazing different people, even the prophets in Scripture. Amos was an uneducated farmer, but he used them. Hallelujah. You can say, I don't have an education. God can use you without an education. You say, well, I'm just a person of the earth. Praise God. Amos was too. An uneducated farmer that has amazing, you know, importance to speak to Israel. Isaiah, he's a You know, a poet. Isaiah was a poet, and his wife was a prophetess. So a prophet's married to a prophetess, but not every prophet is married to a prophetess. You know, we see that Amos wasn't. Jeremiah, he celebrated life, but he's always weeping. A very emotional guy. He's weeping, the weeping prophet, we call him. Jeremiah 16:2. Hosea got a bum rap. I don't know what happened to Hosea, but he had to marry a prostitute. He had to marry a prostitute, and the whole union of that was a prophetic action. Everyone thank God that we're not Hosea. Hallelujah. Hey? And then there's Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a widower. His wife dies. He's not allowed to mourn for her. Ezekiel 24. Ezekiel was a drama king. He had to act out so many different prophetic actions on his left side, on his right side. He's naked. He's cooking his food over. It's a real bum rap for Ezekiel. You know, read it. It's crazy, diverse. But can I tell you the process by which God takes you and I in life is the same. Now, in Scripture, it's very clear that Jesus is the living bread. And I take the living bread in me, and I become what I eat. Your cell blocks, your natural body, becomes what you eat. Spiritually, it's the same. If I eat on Mandre Nibula, which is Fijian for the bread of life, if I feed on the bread of life, I will become like him because I'm being molded. Listen, I'm being shaped. I'm being squeezed into position like Jacob. See, Jacob's this amazing man who walked different. The sinew of his leg was altered by the touch of the angel of the Lord. So he was noticeable throughout his whole life moving forward. Can I ask you a question? Are you willing to walk different than the world to be noticed that you walk with God? God's looking for someone who wrestles with him, that is blessed by him, but can I say is also broken by him. And God wants to make us like bread to feed the nations. You can be a loaf of bread that feeds a whole nation. Listen to me. You, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to your neighbor. I'm not talking to the person behind you in front of you. I'm talking right to you. You can be the bread of life that God wants you to be. Feed on Jesus. And then what do you feed people? Jesus. We see this in Scripture. In Luke 24, Matthew 26, 1 Corinthians 10, Matthew 14, Matthew 15. We took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and the 7 loaves and 3 fish. And this is the pattern. I've preached on it before, but I've never seen it like this in the life of Jacob in Israel and then ourselves quite to this way. But God, every time Jesus takes the bread, he takes it. And see, God took a hold of Jacob. Can I say he takes a hold of your life? And he blesses you. He takes the bread. He blesses the bread. He breaks the bread. He gives the bread. He takes the bread. He blesses the bread. He breaks the bread. He gives the bread. He does this over and over and over. Can I say there's no giving without breaking? God wants our life, can I say, to be broken by him, not for destruction, but for so life can be seen through us, so that as we walk after wrestling with God in our life, that there's a brokenness, that I walk with this altered walk, saying, hey, I wrestle with God, I'm blessed, but I'm different. I don't walk the same way. I don't think the same way. I don't talk the same way. There's a whole name change. Can I say there's a whole character change that happened to Jacob to become Israel? And there's a whole nature change happening in you. There's a whole character change happening in you. There's a breaking that people can see inside your life and say, hey, there's life in there. Yeah, I see Jesus in there. They haven't let go of Jesus. Matter of fact, it's what's made them be able to walk through the scenario. As God breaks us, can I encourage you three things he will never do? Or can I say he will do? Whatever way you want to say it. Number one, he'll never leave you, everyone. God will never leave you. Deuteronomy 31:8 and Joshua 1:9, Psalm 34:18. God loves us. He'll never ditch us. He'll never betray us. He's never going to abandon us. Number two, his grace is always sufficient, no matter what is being used to break us. 2 Corinthians 12:10, Psalm 73:26. Number three, he works all things for the good for you. You love him, you know him, and God's working good. Can I say he's shaping good in you? His name's Jesus. He takes a hold of us and he shapes us into the form he wants us to be. Yetzar, that is the word in Hebrew, Yetzar. He shapes us, he molds us into the image of Christ. I love, there's this one verse I love. It's Luke 24, 35. And it was at this point where, you know, they're really kind of confused. Jesus is appearing and then he's disappearing. And, you know, they're like, what's going on? We've just had, you know, the amazing, crucifixion. He's raised from the dead. And I love this verse. It says that they recognized the Lord when he what? Not when he took the bread, not when he blessed the bread, not when he gave the bread. They recognized him when he broke the bread. Can I say, for most of us, it says God breaks us from our old life into our new life. We recognize Jesus. It's in the breaking that God is recognized by those, their eyes are open. Just like here, the disciples, their eyes. He was recognized by them in the breaking of bread. Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for all partake of the one bread. 1 Corinthians 10:16 and 17. God's making us as we partake of him who is living bread. We become this living bread, Jesus in us, to feed the nations. God wants you to feed the nations. God wants you to feed your peers, your families, your neighbors. We say it over and over again. God's got a destiny on this house. He's got a destiny. It's not the mortar, it's the people. The people make the church. You are the church. You are the living stones. Do you smell that? There's a lot of bread in ovens. A whole bunch of loaves, if you will, walking around or sitting this morning. God's got the right temperature. He has the right ingredients he's placed in your life. Jacob was squeezed into this amazing position to become Israel. God's squeezing sometimes our life into shape, into form. Can I say we can be uneasy in the squeezing? It's natural. It's okay. But it's for not our death, it's for our life. It's for the blessing that comes from allowing him to take our life, take a hold of our life. You know, it's amazing scripture. It says man can't come to God unless what? He draws man to himself. God's drawn you. That's why you're here this morning. I don't know what your background is. I don't know what you're going to do. God knows what you're going to do. God has a plan. Lamentations 2:17. I mean, has anybody read the book of Lamentations for fun lately? It's not a fun book to read. I got to tell you, the title kind of puts me off. And in the midst of that, we see that God has a plan that he decreed a long time ago. And can I say it's for your blessing? It's for your good. It's for the lifting of you. You know, to himself, to be like him, hallelujah. Don't allow the enemy to get your eyes down on the earthly things. Can I say, they don't matter. God, the heavenly thing, wants to bring impact through your loaf. And as they break off a piece and enjoy it, enjoy your life. Oh, that tastes good. Ow, that hurt. Hey? Here, let me just give you some butter on that. You know? But as God, you know, allows our lives, can I say, to be spent. Do you know a loaf of bread is supposed to be consumed? You're supposed to be consumed with God, not the fire of the enemy. But my whole life, when I'm well and ready done, my real prayer is that I really don't care if anybody remembers my name. I just pray they remember Jesus came, Jesus touched, Jesus spoke, Jesus healed. It's not about our names and lights and what kind of business card looks good and have it written on there. It's about God prophesying over the individual. Can I say, he prophesies over the individual, knowing individuals in mass that follow him. We call that revival. It's a whole bunch of individuals that collect themselves together in a group called the multitudes, and that's called revival. Can I say, a lot of us, we need a vival. We need a vival before you have a revival. Think about it. You can't re something unless you do it first. So we need a vival so we can have a revival. Everyone's walking around, I need a revival. Let's get a vival first. Please, can we get a vival and then do a revival? In my own life, in areas, I'm looking for a vival. I'm looking for God, you know, to meet me and understand that he has every best intention for me. So that I might be spent, my life might be spent to his glory, feeding the nations or nation or people where you live, where you breathe, where you work, where you go to school. This is God's plan. I have just two words of knowledge. I had them in prayer this morning before service started. I feel like there's someone here in their stomach. It's like when a muscle twitches and it's fatigued, but it's inside of you. I think it's on your right side. There's been this internal twitching in organs. It feels like your organs are twitching, trying to relax. God wants to heal you from that. And also, it's like a zip tie. You know, you take a zip tie and it's tight, and you take the scissors and you try to get it underneath the zip tie, and then you snap it. And that feeling, the thing just goes flying because of the pressure behind, you know, that constriction that was so tight. I feel like somebody has that constriction in their chest, diaphragm area, and God wants to take the scissors today and snip that off. And they bring freedom to your life. There's going to be people to pray with you over here to my left, like was discussed. The elder doctor, Colin Dix, is going to lead that team this morning. Elder doctor, would you just stand and wave your hand so they know who you are? I know, you can shoot me later. Good on you. Hey, and there's going to be prophetic teams here to my right. And so there, we'll be doing that after service every Sunday morning. That'll be great. Everybody, God loves you. And God's got this amazing word over your life. It's the name Jesus. I love when we sang that song this morning. You know, when you say the name of Jesus, things happen. There's power in the name of Jesus. And so you might see yourself, I'm not really prophetic, I've never prophesied. Can I say, if you have an ailment in your body, if you have a lack of finance, if you're having trouble in relationships, if you're having trouble in the thinking of your mind or the emotions of your heart, just speak the name of Jesus to yourself. I just speak Jesus to this. I just speak Jesus to my mind. I speak Jesus to my finance. I speak Jesus to my relationships and friendships, to my marriage, to my business. Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Lord God, that you had such an amazing plan for Jacob who became Israel. And Lord, we have yet to discover the impact you want in full measure through our lives. And Lord, we're excited about it. We're excited about placing us on earth at this time. We thank you, Lord God, that you're drawing us deeper into, Lord, the fulfillment of the decree over our lives that you prophesied a long time ago. Lord, I thank you that you're dispelling the spirit of fear in all of its forms against and in and around your people in Jesus' name. We thank you for the blood of Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Protection and power by the blood of Jesus. We just thank you that every condition be eradicated that is not your will for people's lives and people's bodies. I praise you and thank you, Lord God. that you would speak continually an encouraging word to our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you real good. Come back tonight, 6 p.m. Prayer on my left. Prophetic team, just let them take a couple minutes. We'll get some chairs up there. If you would like prophetic ministry, it'll be to my right. God bless you good.